Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. We talk about many facets of classical music and the life of a working musician each month with contributor Robert Cohen. He is the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet. There's a lot that goes into making music that sounds good, starting with the composition itself, of course. But with the cello or the violin or the viola or bass, the strings themselves are where the rubber hits the road, or maybe the rosin. And that is where we begin our conversation. Robert Cohen explains to Lake Effect's Bonnie North the critical role the right strings play.
It is quite a history, a story of what's happened with string manufacturing. And I mean, they were made by hand, you know, hundreds of years ago from gut. And
we're talking animal gut.
Yeah, I mean, most likely the favored gut was made from sheep's guts. I think because the lamb was not very fatty, didn't have a very fatty gut, and the strands that they use for making instrument strings just seem to suit them very well. So they used this gut and strands of it and created the strings for the violin and the cello. And that's what they used literally hundreds of years ago, 300-400 years ago. And nothing really changed very much. I mean, the thickness of the string, the thinner strings were the ones for the higher sounds, and the thicker guts were for the cello or for the bass. And until actually about the early 1900s, when really they started to have the idea of using metal as well as gut. So the strings, instead of just being all gut, wound gut of strands of gut, started to have a core of metal. And that could be solid or it could be wound strands. And then that would be covered by, well, various different other types of metals like aluminium or chrome or silver, and more recently with things like titanium. And the reason being that, you know, gut was not really that easy to get hold of, and certainly during certain times of war and so on. So the strings got developed, and also these metal strings had a more brilliant and powerful sound for the new concert halls. So it started to be favored by musicians to use these metal-type strings. There's something very natural, of course, about the gut and the very warm and very beautiful sound. And so with this movement to metal strings, a lot of people were quite dissatisfied, really.
I imagine, yes, the sound is very different, would be brighter and maybe harsher than what you would be used to with a more natural string or a gut string. I was wondering about the instruments themselves, though. I mean, you have to tighten them up to get them to whatever tune, whatever note they need to be. Did metal, when metal came in, did that make it a problem when you tightened it up? Would they snap or break the instrument or damage the instrument in any way?
Well, there was a lot of tension. And I think the manufacturers tried to create strings that had that kind of strength and brilliance of sound, but were not so tense that they would cause a problem for the instrument. And that is one of the arts, I suppose, of design of different strings, to try to get this kind of warmth and beauty that you had in the gut strings with the brilliance that you might need and power that you might need in the modern concert hall. And, you know, there are mixtures of titanium and silver and all of these things, which all have, as you said, really different types of sound. And, you know, I find that when I first started playing, my teacher insisted that I play on pure gut on the top two strings. And on the lower strings, I had gut covered by wound silver. And that was a very beautiful and warm sound. But as my career progressed and as the technologies changed, I started to try these other types of string. They were a compromise, but then later on, in more recent years, they've discovered that instead of using gut as the center of the string or steel, that they would start to use synthetic materials to try to recreate that gut sound. So now there are synthetic sort of plastics and that's material, I think it's called Zyx or something, which they use, I think, nowadays for some tennis rackets. And they cover that in different types of material, all trying to get this amazing combination of warmth and brilliance. I find that every, say, every year or so, I get calls and emails from the manufacturers saying, will you try this new technology, and we'd like you to see what you think about these things and how you find the sound. And it is fascinating, and it's a long, long kind of experiment, because every string gets manufactured in different thicknesses. So if you got an A string, that A string would be maybe come in three different thicknesses, and that different thickness and different tensions again alter the kind of projection and warmth and quality of the sound. So you might try a medium, so to speak, and find that it sounds kind of very warm but lacking in power. Then you might try the heavy of the three types and find that it's, you know, it's harsh. So then you might want to try a different make or a different string with different combinations of materials. And that's just one string. Then you find that when you put a second string on that's different, that affects the first string. And so by the time you put four new strings on your instrument, the whole instrument is responding differently. The string speaks more quickly or more slowly. The kind of looseness, lack of tension in one string helps the instrument to resonate more, while another string, the tighter string that may be somewhere else on the instrument, then feels more free because of the more relaxed string. I mean, I'm probably confusing you completely, because believe me, it's terribly confusing when you're trying all these things.
Well, there's so many variables that, you know, that yes, it's only four strings, but as you say, there's three or four possibilities for each string, and then how this reacts to that. It's all the parts that have to work together to make the sound that you want. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, your instrument, you're used to your instrument sounding and adjusted to sound in a certain way with certain strings. And then if you change the strings and the tension on the instrument, you might feel, well, now my cello needs to be adjusted slightly differently to take advantage of these other types of string. So there you come into another variable. And so that's not something that's too easy to sort out at all. And so it's a dangerous area to go into.
It's a rabbit hole to go down.
It is, but at the same time, you know, because there are new strings being invented, there are probably 20, 25 major manufacturers of strings around the world. And each company is churning out tens of thousands of strings every single day, which is hard to imagine, because you just can't think that there would be that many people changing strings all the time, but there are. All over the world, people are trying strings, changing strings, and because when you put the string on, it sounds in a certain way, and within a few minutes, it settles down, it stretches, and it starts to vibrate differently, and it sounds again different. So some strings you get to know, some makes of strings, you get to know that they sound best after about 3 or 4 days. And the first day, they can sound really awful. Whereas another kind of string can sound very good within, say, half an hour. Those are the kinds of strings that are quite useful if you have to change strings in a hurry. If one breaks, for instance, in the middle of a concert, or, you know, just before, between rehearsals or something, you can switch to a string that sounds good really quickly.
So on your cello, do you have different brands depending on the string, or does it depend on which strings you're using at the moment?
Well, that's a very good question. I do actually have at least two different brands on my cello at the moment. And it's quite possible, if I carry on driving myself completely mad, I might end up with four different brands. And of course, that you'd think that maybe they wouldn't match, but, you know, by the time you've figured out which thickness and which type and which material and so on, it is possible that they will match really well. But sometimes you just have to wait to let a string settle down. Then you find that, you know, you play some Mozart or something, and the strings work really, really nicely. But then if you suddenly have to play something very, very powerful, like a cello concerto by Shostakovich, you find that that string that works so nicely for a certain repertoire is completely useless when it comes to needing to kind of hit the back wall of the concert hall. You find that flexibility and warmth and beauty in that one string. It just can't take the pounding. You start to get this point where you need a string for different repertoire, you know. It is completely mad, and you can understand why musicians are a little bit insane about these things.
Yeah, I'm thinking that for cellists, it would be difficult to do what I've seen a lot of guitar players do, which is have about 8 different guitars strung with different strings, tuned in different ways, depending on the song that they're playing on stage. You know, so... You know, that would obviously be the ideal thing, is that, okay, you have this cello strung for Berlioz and you have this cello strung for Mozart, and you don't have to try to find a string that does everything.
That's right. Well, you just need a whole selection of Stradivarius cellos at hand, don't you, really?
There you go. And the room to keep them. And the entourage to carry them around for you.
Yes, and all the tickets.
As you travel.
Cello tickets on the planes and everything else.
You take up the entire cabin with you and your cellos.
This would be ideal, I have to say. And then, you know, I'd be really, really happy with that situation.
Well, Robert, let's work on that. I think we need to make that a goal. By the time we talk next year.
Crowdfunding or something.
I think so.
Quite a bit
of sums, and then you can get all of those strings set up. But in the meantime, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Lovely to talk to you, Bonnie.
Robert Cohen is the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet. He joins us each month in a segment called On That Note with Robert Cohen.